In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is it?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello there. This is Adam Fraser, and you are listening to Skullface Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by the Uma Thurman to my John Travolta, David Allen.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
And that guy who I just don't know if I can take many more days on the island with him, producer Tim Grant.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I wish I could say the same. Today on the show, we'll discuss Quentin Tarantino's latest offering, Django Unchained. We'll also see if our Geekomatic Telefax is fixed yet. And of course, we'll play a game as the gods get particularly restless near the end of the year, which is how actually we know it's the end of the year, because the gods get restless, you know, because we have no real concept of time or space or anything here.
None.
It's true.
With that being said, it's time for our Skullface Selects, also known as our Picks of the Week. David, your pick?
I would like to suggest Scanners.
Ooh.
I'm not going to get into the plot. Just know that this movie has exploding heads in it.
Oh,
that's all you need to know.
The best exploding head of all time.
Oh, man.
Ever.
Oh, and Michael Ironside is in it. So
also good.
Exploding heads, Michael Ironside, rent it where movies are still available for rent.
That's great. I like that. My pick is Ken Burns, Sarah Burns, and David McMahon's 2012 film, The Central Park Five, which is a documentary that examines the 1989 case of five black and Latino teenagers who were convicted of raping a white woman in Central Park. After each of the teenagers spent between 6 and 13 years in prison, a serial rapist later confessed to the crime. And this very tragic and emotional documentary explores each of their lives and the circumstances of their conviction and It's really heavy.
It's supposed to be very, very good.
It's one of the best documentaries I've seen all year. So if it's playing in your area, you should check it out.
Wow.
Cool.
And my pick, and this may shine a light on the contention between Adam and I this week.
Oh, man.
I have been loving me some chick flicks this week.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
Some holiday goodness. And so my pick this week is a film that takes place over both Christmas and New Year's, and that is Why You Were Sleeping, starring Sandra Bullock, Bill Pullman, Peter Gallagher, Peter Boyle, and of Mary Poppins fame.
Of course.
Glynis Johns.
Oh.
Wonderful little bit part. She's just lovely in this movie. I love this movie. I'm not going to apologize for it. Adam, David, you can go to hell. I don't care. It's awesome. I know you're judging me. I don't give two shits. It's a great movie.
Well then,
I kind of like that movie.
Do you?
A little bit.
And you've been a coward to admit this.
I don't want to talk about it.
You're a weasel. You're a weasel. You made an alliance with me on the island. God, unbelievable. Well, make sure to check those out, except for While You Were Sleeping, because that is absurd. Now that our picks are out of the way,
did you just make a Survivor reference?
Maybe I did.
And you're getting on to me about
and
my pick
maybe
of this week.
I did.
Well, he got immunity not long ago.
Yeah, don't you? I think fucking T'Challa gave me immunity.
It's been, oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't you remember that time we were out by the lagoon and Jeff Probst showed up and we were like, get the fuck out of here. This is our island. He had torches and a camera crew.
Did that happen while I was sleeping?
Well, you jerks. Oh, I see what you did
you
there.
You jerks.
Well, Tim, I guess please tell me that the Geek-O-Matic Telefax is no longer on the fritz.
I tried to fix it. I don't know what the hell is wrong with the thing. Martin was no help either.
Well, you know, it's funny that you you mentioned Martin because I did see him a couple nights ago. He was just sitting outside, and I didn't think anything of it at the time, but then I noticed he had this weird little cube kind of like sticking out of his arm.
Hmm, what?
And, yeah, I don't know. It's super weird. And every surface was like a screen of some sort, and he seemed to be in constant communication with someone about something. I don't know.
Okay, so first off, that sounds like the computer that travels with Cable from X-Men.
Whoa.
Second, what was he saying?
Well, most of it was in binary.
By the way, that's computer code for our listeners who aren't familiar with that term.
Are there any? Is there anyone? Well, whatever. So most of it I couldn't understand, but then right before he finished, he said, and I think I heard this right, pause for dramatic effect on this one. They aren't ready yet.
What?
They aren't ready yet.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, ready for what? And who is they? Are we they? What are we not ready for? It's a very ominous tone.
This makes me very, very uncomfortable.
I'm excited.
Well, whatever it is, we apparently aren't ready for it. So what do you say we do something that we are ready for, and that's talk about some movies. So, guys, grab your jammers and a tasty beverage. Because it's Samuel L. Jackson time. Huh? What?
'63, Texas. German-born bounty hunter Dr. King Schultz, played by Christoph Waltz, is determined to capture the outlaw Brittle Brothers dead or alive. In the midst of his search, Schultz crosses paths with Django, played by Jamie Foxx, a slave separated from his beloved wife, Broomhilda, played by Kerry Washington, who was sold to the ruthless plantation owner, Calvin Candy, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Schultz frees Django, and together they set out to track down the Brittle Brothers and rescue Broomhilda from the Candyland Plantation.
My name is Dr. King Schultz. This is my valet, Django.
Come on over. We got a safari going on that's a good bit of fun. Why'd you dig him up?
A fortuitous turn of events brought Django and myself together.
Move it.
Well, I've heard tell about you.
You got me curious.
I'm curious what makes you so curious.
Something up with these two. Them old boys done rode a lot of miles, went to a lot of trouble just to get that gal.
Hey, little troublemaker.
You silver-tongued devil, you.
They playing your ass for a fool.
I spent my whole life surrounded by black faces. I only had one question.
Why don't they just rise up and kill the whites?
Who knows what could happen?
All right. I'm going to jump right into this.
Okay.
And it's not going to be what you expect.
All right.
But I was not that impressed with this movie.
Oh, my gosh.
I love Quentin Tarantino's films. I think most people who would consider themselves fans of film think that he's great and they love his shtick and what he does. And up until this point, I would have agreed. I've enjoyed all of his films. But Tarantino's movies don't seem to say anything anymore. And honestly, I'm not sure if they ever really did say a whole lot. It doesn't seem like there's a deeper meaning. There's no real symbolism hidden beneath any of his, you know, now standard stories of vengeance. You know, I think this really kind of started with Kill Bill. Kill Bill was the story of a woman seeking vengeance against the man who wronged her. Inglourious Bastards saw Jews torture Germans and kill Hitler, which is the ultimate revenge fantasy. And now in Django Unchained, it's a black slave seeking revenge against the white man. And this film is essentially Death Wish, mishmashed with spaghetti western and blaxploitation, for something that it feels like it's become the cinematic equivalent of Glee mashups. Mm-hmm. And that might sound a little harsh, but you know, the first time you hear Living on a Prayer mixed with Usher's Confessions, you're surprised by how good it sounds mixed together. But after the 10th time, it sounds like Kidz Bop nonsense, and you're really dying for the original simplistic classic approach to the song. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm experiencing here with Django Unchained, is just genre fatigue. Mm. You heard me say it, genre fatigue. I wish Tarantino cared more about telling a good story than how many times he can fit the word fuck into a script, which seems to be all he's concerned about now. And personally, I think Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown are his best films because they're intricate and inspired, and they had something to say. They told a story that was, you know, a complex narrative that had characters with specific motivations that constantly propelled the story. But now it just seems that Tarantino chooses a new genre to fetishize. Here it's Western. And he writes a script filled with obscure references and, in this case, tons of racial slurs, and throws a few hundred gallons of blood on it and calls it a day. And like I said, this is my least favorite Tarantino film, even though Christoph Waltz, Samuel L. Jackson, and Leonardo DiCaprio are fantastic in this movie. It's hard to tell who really shines the brightest. Those are three great supporting actor roles that they inhabit. I guess where the film falls for me is Jamie Foxx's Django. And it's not Jamie Foxx. He's great. But that character is so underdeveloped in this film that it's really hard for me to invest in him and, I guess, care about his journey. Yes, he's a slave. He has the scars to prove it. But we simply have to take his struggle at face value. Whereas in Kill Bill, we witness the hardships of Uma Thurman's The Bride. Here, we have to pretty much just imagine how painful it must have been for Django to be separated from his wife and mistreated by his masters. And I've been trying to get my head around that, why that bothers me so much. But I don't know. It's bizarre. I think it could have something to do with the fact that this is Tarantino's first film without editor Sally Menke, who sadly passed away in 2010.
Yeah.
There are some weird cuts in this movie. I think some of the less elegant editing is no doubt a result of her absence. And it could possibly undermine the movie at times. I don't know. I heard that there was like a 4.5 hour cut of this movie. And they cut it down. And the movie is still about 2 hours and 45 minutes. So it's still long. But to think that there's a 4.5 hour cut out there of it, it makes me wonder if Tarantino really ever had a clear, concise idea of what he wanted this story to be, and maybe he struggled with it, and that's why I'm struggling with it. But I think I need to see it again to truly see what I feel about it. But I kept thinking while watching it, I was like, man, the first 15 minutes of Inglourious Basterds is better than this entire movie. I mean, I just kept thinking of that scene with Christoph Waltz and Bastards and how amazing it is. But
so Tim and I didn't see this movie,
right?
We weren't able. I was in the bathroom and Tim was off doing something,
radio towers
probably. And but I wanted to ask, I mean, I know a lot of people don't necessarily agree with this sort of criticism, but is this a kind of would you say this is a, like, indicative of like a Tim Burton or Wes Anderson kind of like just aesthetic obsession?
Yeah,
he's just kind of just repeating himself and trying to like do this in just slightly different ways, but
yeah,
he's done it so many times now that you're just kind of like, there's not enough new stuff here.
I think so,
for me to fall into it,
you know. I really, really like Jackie Brown, and I think the reason I really like that movie so much is because it's an adaptation. You know, he adapted it. He wrote the script, but it was based on something else. And so he was forced to more subtly work in these hints of like blaxploitation and stuff like that into that movie.
And his stylistic choices, stuff like that.
Yeah. But now he's at a point where he has no filter for that. And he seems so concerned about, I want this to look just like a spaghetti western. I want this to happen. And I want the blood to look like this and that, you know,
right,
that the story seems to just be the the furthest thing from his mind.
Right, right.
And, you know, I think with Tim Burton, what we've talked about is he seems to take something already established and put his spin on it, whereas I kind of wish Tarantino would get something else and put his spin on it instead of continually creating essentially the same story over and over again. It's just like he has a template of a revenge story and he just plugs in some genres and then lets it go.
Yeah.
So,
I'm really bummed out about this because that's the thing that I like about spaghetti westerns so much is that they are, it's really interesting that you're using the words, like the kind of criticisms that you're offering. Cause like one of the things I like about spaghetti westerns is that there are these really, really solid, tight narratives.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, like the best ones, which I think is arguably not that arguable, but is the Man with No Name trilogy.
Right. Sure.
And it's interesting to me because that character is no one. He's a nobody. Like you have no idea in any of these movies who this guy is.
Yeah.
But the narrative of each film is still so tight and so, you know, just fantastically well written.
Yeah.
And so I find it interesting that you're talking about a sort of spaghetti Western reference with a character whose background we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
We're just given it very quickly.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of underdeveloped. So it's sort of like he tried to pull a little bit of a medium.
Yeah, yeah.
Like by saying, we're not going to give you too much exposition,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we're going to ask that you care about this.
Yeah.
Do you think he just depended too heavily on the fact that really, like, he thought this is a slave character?
Yeah.
People are going to automatically feel like
And maybe he sympathy. Felt like we don't need to care. Maybe he felt like he was going more for the shock value of, you know, having a black man kill white people and throwing around racial slurs and stuff a lot. I don't know. Maybe he felt like he was going to shock some people into paying attention to him with that.
But yeah.
It is weird. Actually, the story of Django as a character is very straightforward. He's a slave. Christoph Waltz's character finds him and basically proposes this deal. I will make you a free man if you team up with me to help me track down these outlaws, and in return, I will help you rescue your wife.
Yeah.
And so that narrative, it is completely clean cut and straight through. But the whole time I'm just like, you know, hey, it sucks that him and his wife got split up, but I've seen this story a billion times. Like, I feel like I should see her being mistreated, him being mistreated. I feel like I should know a little more than what you're giving me to really invest in the story that's being told. You know, like with Uma Thurman, I mean, would Kill Bill been nearly as effective if you didn't get that amazing black and white sequence in the chapel where, you know, Bill fucking shoots her in the head and tries to kill her?
It would be different. That's be a different film.
You never get that in Django. You just understand from the whip marks on his back and that he was sold away from his wife. You know, you just have to be, well, that's terrible, but...
Yeah.
Do you think he's playing against... Let's take a miniseries like Roots.
Yeah.
Do you think he's playing against that with that kind of character? Do you see any kind of influences there? Because I think of, you know, when you talk about a slave, you know, how many movies are really devoted to a slave character like that?
Yeah.
Do you see any influence there?
Maybe so, yeah. I mean, maybe that's not, you know, I don't want to assume what his intentions are. I can only say what I would prefer to have out of a character as far as my relation to them. And I always feel that the more I'm able to relate to a character, the more I'm invested in their story. And so I never could find an entryway into his story. And if that's how Tarantino wanted it to be, then that's fine. But
well, I think that... this is a really fascinating kind of aspect of this movie that I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing how I react to it. Because I would imagine that if this were a more serious film and it didn't go into, because if it's anything like Inglourious Basterds or Kill Bill,
it goes into its
fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely, you know, it's like hyper reality. It's elevated. It's not. And so it's almost like he's using indications to feel sympathetic towards a character in what would normally work in a very serious drama,
mm-hmm.
to have sympathy for a character in a film that is almost cartoonish.
Sure.
So it kind of takes away from the reality of, you know, the sort cartoonish. Of like slave experience.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if that's really what's happening, that tells me, I feel like that would almost be like borderline insulting.
Right.
To the slave experience. But I'm not going to, well, I mean, I have to see it before I can start thinking that.
So. I just keep thinking about, and maybe it's totally unfair to continue to compare this film to his other films, but I think of sympathetic characters and stuff that he's created in other movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like,
absolutely.
God, that poor cop in Reservoir Dogs makes me feel so bad every time.
Bill.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Kill Bill.
I mean, he does these things where he makes you definitely care about characters.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole adrenaline needle in the chest. Like those things really get to you. But here it just seemed like a weird, it wasn't quite, if he wanted to make it in the spirit that he made Death Proof as a straight ahead grindhouse movie, he failed to hit that. And if he wanted to make an actual like compelling semi serious story with all these genre overtones, he failed to hit that too. It's just somewhere in the middle between those two.
If this was your first Tarantino film, do you think it would ring a little bit better?
Yeah.
You'd enjoy it more?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I go back and watch it again and I like it more because I'm not judging it as hard. But I felt like my first viewing of it, I wanted more out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Reservoir Dogs, I'm not a fan of Reservoir Dogs.
Really?
Because I get tired of living in Tarantino's head, which I think that movie is way too up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All I can hear is Tarantino feverishly typing at his probably old-timey typewriter.
Yeah.
Just saying to himself, this is fucking great. This is fucking great.
I'm gonna complain about tipping for 3 pages.
Yeah.
It's kind of what Django felt like.
Great. Really. Because I think that he's progressing. Mm-hmm. I've actually liked Tarantino's films more as he's gone along.
Well, he's been more cooperative. Mm-hmm. In recent years.
And I think that he's incorporating more elements. And part of the reason that I don't really, dig Reservoir Dogs as much is that it really is, it is so heavy on the dialogue.
Yeah.
Now, he can type some dialogue up, no doubt about it. But I also think that he directs action in such a unique way. And he directs... quiet moments in such a unique way as well. And all of those elements seem to be more in the forefront or more equal, I guess, in his more recent film. So Inglourious Basterds may be my favorite Tarantino movie because I feel like it has all of those elements.
I think the thing with Inglourious Basterds is the structure of it, the chapter kind of structure of it, feels really inconsistent to me because I love Christoph Waltz's character, but I really could care less about Brad Pitt's character.
Okay.
So when it jumps back and forth, I just feel myself kind of floating out of it. But that first scene is incredible. And then the stuff with the theater is great. It's just kind of the middle ground with the bear Jew and that kind of stuff that it loses me.
I hate the bear Jew so much.
But
the bear Jew makes that movie imperfect for me.
I think the weird thing with Django Unchained is we've talked about all these movies and they're very clearly Tarantino. And I think this one feels, if it was directed by anyone else, we would not be talking about it. It just feels like a silly, almost like Black Dynamite, the Western. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we would be talking about it. Because it certainly wouldn't have these people in it.
Yeah.
And the story itself, without these character actors and stuff, it just would not be interesting, honestly.
Wow, okay.
It would probably be insulting. If it was anyone else than Tarantino, they wouldn't be able to get away with it.
That's fascinating.
So,
well, that's a longer conversation.
Yeah.
About how about artists' responsibility to retell history through their own filter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which believe in very, very.
Which came fervently. Up for Inglourious Basterds pretty heavily too.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I think it applies here. I haven't seen the movie, obviously, but it must apply here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what do you got for rating?
I'm going to give this 3 motherfuckers.
Okay.
100 black coffins
mm-hmm.
for 100 bad men and 1 Samuel L. Jackson. Now, that rating alone will probably be enough to have you go see it. Everything I've said won't matter. But you know that Samuel Jackson is in this movie.
Yeah.
And you know a few things.
About Samuel L. Jackson.
You know he is going to say fuck a lot.
Tons.
This is a tasty burger. Burger. Burger.
Now that movie time is over, we need to take a time out to recognize the folks that keep the generators running and the restless natives at bay. Geeks of Doom has all the best geek-related scoops on comics, movies, television, and pop culture paraphernalia. Help us avoid certain death and visit geeksofdoom.com. Now, back to the show. In honor of director Quentin Tarantino's latest film, today's game, and I just came up with this, so I hope you're ready.
Okay.
Today's game is, say what one more goddamn time.
Oh. Whoa.
Yeah.
Things got...
Things escalated quickly, am I right? Yes.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Basically, this is Skullface Island's explicit version of TV's Jeopardy, which everybody knows.
I love it. I love it.
Adam will act as your motherfucking game show host, and by that I mean I will present the two of you, David and Tim, with clues in the form of answers regarding the films of Quentin Tarantino or his life, his work in general,
mm-hmm.
and you must phrase your responses in the form of a question, which, as we know, is "What is?" Hence the title. It's clever.
I see.
There will be 5 questions. The person with the most correct responses wins. And you guys know the drill. Hands on your buzzers, okay?
Okay.
All right. You know, usually I don't play these games. Usually I'm the host.
That's right. That's right.
Is this because of your immunity?
It's because of my immunity, and it's also because, I had to write this game up while Tim was watching while you were sleeping.
While I was sleeping?
It's time well spent.
Yes. While you were sleeping, I was writing, and Tim was watching... While you were sleeping.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Got that straightened out.
Whew. Man. All right. Number 1. Yes.
Who is Susan Sarandon?
That is incorrect. Would you please let me finish the motherfucking question?
Okay.
Director Quentin Tarantino has made a cameo in each of his films with the exception of this one. Yes, David.
I believe it's Kill Bill.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, I didn't say it before.
Yeah, you fucking idiot. The name of this fucking game is Say What One More Goddamn Time.
Right.
And you didn't.
Made me scared about saying it.
So. Say what again? Tim, yes.
What is Kill Bill?
That is correct.
I thought Samuel L. Jackson was going to show up and beat me up or shoot me.
He's waiting outside.
Samuel L. Jackson is actually T'Challa.
Man.
Spoiler alert, guys. Come on.
That is either true or not true. I'm not sure which one.
Score is currently Tim 1, David 0.
Buh.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The answer. This Tarantino film is an adaptation of Rum Punch, a novel by Elmore Leonard. Yes, David.
What is Jackie Brown?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yay!
Damn it.
Tried, motherfucker.
The answer. This Tarantino film features, quote, a detective. A damn good detective, quote. Oh, Tim. You're moaning. That's interesting. Do you have an answer?
Inglourious Bastards.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nope.
That's correct.
Not in the form of
oh,
question.
Oh, shit! God damn you guys. You're completely undermining the point of the game. Maybe you missed it. Say what one more goddamn time is the name of the game.
I buzzed. May I answer? God,
yes, David.
Oh. What is Inglourious Bastards?
You're beating me at my own game.
Ding, ding,
David.
Ding. So the score is now Tim 1, David 2.
Oh, that stings.
All right.
Burns.
This is number 4. The
number
answer.
Four. I got to get this one or it's over for me.
You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself, Tim.
I think a bit more than necessary.
This lost black and white film was directed by Quentin Tarantino while he worked at Video Archives in Manhattan Beach, California. I'll give you some hints here. This is actually his first film before okay. Reservoir Dogs.
I feel like this is actually something I've known before, too. But...
Gentlemen, I need an answer. Feel free to buzz in and groan for 2 minutes like Tim. Okay.
I'm just going to take
David.
A shot in the dark.
Sure.
No, this wouldn't be it. I was going to say The Bride. What is The Bride? But that wouldn't be it.
That is... Oh, Tim, to steal?
What is... The Reservoir Puppies.
This is what happens when you watch while you were sleeping. You come up with dumb fucking shit like that. Reservoir Puppies.
Mine was at least within the realm of his career. Is that the answer? That'd be ridiculous.
It's the answer. No, it's not. I'm kidding.
No, it's not. What is the answer?
The correct answer is My Best Friend's Birthday. It's the name of the film.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's a black and white film.
Is
and it's partially lost. It doesn't fully exist anymore.
What kind of question
is this
that?
Literally him just recording his friend's birthday on like a camcorder?
No, it's not a documentary.
And
it's
he's like
film.
Calling it his... I didn't say documentary. I call it like a home video. And he's like, oh yeah, it's my first film. It's lost. But it was really just the first time I had a camera.
I don't like that question.
Well, it's informative, and now the viewers or the fucking listeners, Tim, know
and
something
us.
About Tarantino that they didn't fucking know before.
And us. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was it My Best Friend's Birthday?
Yeah, My Best Friend's Wedding, starring Domhnall Gurney.
And they're going to go and try to watch it, and it's only going to be half there.
Donut Mahoney? Is that what I said?
Dylan Mahoney?
Dermot McDillon? McRib? Is that what you were going to say? All right, look, last question.
Okay.
And I guess the drama is done. But you know what? If Tim can get this, I might just give him the game.
Isn't it a tie? When he gets this?
It's a tie.
Oh, yeah,
it's
not
scores
over. Oh,
only.
God.
You're up by one. We only have one question left.
So I get it.
We
I win.
Don't know how
he
to
gets
count.
It. It's a tie.
Yep. Number 5. The answer is Quentin Tarantino played this recurring character named McInnes Cole on this ABC television series. Whoa. Tim.
What is Alias?
That, my friend, is correct.
I can't believe he knew that.
I can't either, and it's now tied 2-2.
I have to confess something. I cheated on the last answer.
You!
Did you really?
Maybe.
You sneak.
It was unintentional.
Trixie Hobbitses.
Unbelievable.
It was unintentional.
You tainted the sanctity of the third segment.
I was doing some casual browsing.
What happens when we tell Chichala
fucking
what happened?
Cheated.
Oh, Tim, I rue the day.
Tim, a few weeks ago, T'Challa asked for you. And you know what I did?
Fucking David.
I told him... No, sir.
He spared you and sent me to fucking my best friend's birthday over there to
I
Charles.
I am ashamed. I didn't intentionally look it up, okay?
Oh, you just happened to be browsing
on Tarantino's
Lycos.
I probably shouldn't have used the word cheated.
You just
okay?
You just randomly went to the Alta Vista search engine and searched for Alias?
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino?
It was just a coincidence of information.
Co-winky dink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well look.
I don't know.
You know what though? He was honest.
I was. I felt like something bad was gonna happen if we continued.
So what you're telling? Well, something bad is gonna happen.
Yeah, you're fucked.
I mean, that's out of our hands.
You've ruined it.
T'Challa's gonna know this whether we tell him or not.
Yeah.
The gods are listening.
Well, you've already ruined the integrity of the game, and it is tied, and now I must ask a tiebreaker. Hands on your buzzers.
I am almost positive that we should not have to answer another question, that I just win by default.
Nope. I'm sorry. I can't be held. You know the rules?
Oh, no, apparently I don't.
The rules are cheat to win, and if you get caught, then, well, there you go.
Get another chance.
Yeah. Hands on your buzzers.
All right, I'm ready.
As exhibited in films such as Death Proof and Pulp Fiction, director Quentin Tarantino is known for having this particular fetish. Oh, Tim.
A foot fetish.
Ha! Well, I can see on David's face, he's very upset.
I am so upset with this.
Tim thing. Has won. That is correct. Tarantino has a foot fetish. And Tim has won via cheating. He admitted to cheating. Me, bound by the rules, had to give a slate.
I'm not going to say I'm proud of it, but I confessed my sins, and I feel like much in like the Catholic faith, you can continue on in life.
I am going to pre-confess my sin of tearing down your fucking radio tower tomorrow morning.
Don't do that, David.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have accidentally looked up Tarantino's history.
I was trying to be helpful. I was trying to help out the second segment.
You know what? Whatever.
Movie time. All right.
What does he win and what do I lose?
I love you, kids. You keep me young. What do you win?
What does he win? Well, obviously, I didn't win. What does he win?
Tim cheated. So we know what happens when you win and you cheat. The pterodactyl comes and takes a shit on your head.
Good.
As for you,
thank God.
Well, tell me, what happened last week with the T'Challa situation?
I don't want to talk about that.
Well, you may not want to talk about it, but you're about to live through it.
Again.
God damn it. I had just gotten rid of the infection.
Well, on that very disturbing and way too descriptive note.
Hey, not all of us get surprise birthday parties when we visit T'Challa. Right.
Sounds like you got something else as a surprise. That concludes another transmission from Skullface Island. As always, you can call the Skullface Island hotline at 980-272-0111 or email us at skullfaceisland@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at Skullface Island and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Skullface Island. And guys, this just in. You can follow us on Google Plus.
Oh.
By searching for, you guessed it, Skullface Island.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fried.
Look.
I'm a fucking mess. Guys, I'm an alcoholic.
And a cheater.
This explains so much.
Are you cheating because of your alcoholism?
My world is crashing down on me.
I'm not sure if he's an alcoholic.
Wait,
hold on.
He's
just trying to get out of cheating responsibility.
Hold on. Tim just admitted to cheating during the third segment, right? During the game?
Yes, I remember it well.
This calls into question all of his previous victories. Remember that Susan Sarandon bit?
Holy...